your Son did it on the cross. Yes. So we thank you now, Father, for providing for us. Lord, we just repent of anything this day that wasn't pleasing to you, that was a sin form. And we thank you, Father, that we are still working on the soul. We thank you, though, that you have given us your Son and the blood, that we can come in and that we're washed white with the blood of Jesus. Yes. And that we can come into your courts and ask for healing.
Yes.
Through the stripes upon his back, we are healed by faith, by the stripes, and by the blood.
Yes.
That is how we access that and activate that here on earth. Your kingdom resides here on earth within these earthen vessels. So, Father, we just thank you that through the blood, through the access, that you want to activate yourself here on earth through us. You've chosen that method. And so we thank you, that, Father, that your glory is going to reside in this building. And we thank you, Father, whoo, for the things that you're going to do in this territory, in this area, in this very place. I thank you, Father, that we are cracking through the barriers that had been set up in this area. We shut it up. We thank you, Father, for the people sitting here right now. Oh, activate them. Let their faith arise. Ooh, ba ba ba. Oh, Shira, because when we leave this place, Father, you want to activate those sitting here to go out and touch the world. That is your vision. That is your good news, that Jesus heals, that Jesus saves, and that you continue to renew our minds, that we become what you have destined each one of us in this room to become. Lord, that it's never too late, that we all have second chances, and that you're calling us to rise and begin again. Arise and stop wallowing in whatever it is you think isn't right in your world. Because God's given us the answers. It's in his word. We thank you, Father, that you provide for everything we need. Everything we need. Whether it be provisions of finances. Some of you have a mentality of being poor. Stop it. You're the richest people in the world. Because you have access to the Heavenly Father, who will provide everything you need. He provides for your healing. He provides for your comforts. He provides healing of your heart. There are many of you right now sitting here that are hurting, that you won't disclose to anybody. Run to your Father, to the Abba Father's arms, because he is the one that can heal your heart. But he's also provided a church here that we need to draw on one another. He is saying, no more lone rangers. We have too many lone rangers out there in this country right now that think they can do it on their own. But God has a government of churches that we come together to help one another, because that's how we grow. That's how we, between sharing with one another, that we are going to grow. And he wants us to grow in the knowledge of who he is. And he wants us, the awful thing is he wants to be our best friend. And sometimes we just need others alongside us to take us there. To allow us to learn how to run to the Father. To desire his heart among everything else. Everything else. Now he's preparing this church for a lot of new babies coming in. In the physical realm, as we see sitting right here, and in the spiritual realm. And the churches are not ready for the great harvest that's about to take place. there's a harvest out there. And he said, get ready. Get ready. Get prepared. Because you're going to need to train them. Mm-hmm. And it's time to stop being lackadaisical about your faith. Mm-hmm. It's time to arise and begin again.
Gotcha.
Thank you, Pastor Davis. Thank you, Jesus.
Hallelujah.
Keep Brother Puffman in prayer too. He's trying to get to Florida, and got to keep him on the mission field. Amen. So, Brother Sampson, would you come and give us the word tonight? Have you enjoyed his teaching?
Amen.
Praise God. Proverbs chapter 4. Thank you, Lord Jesus.
I woke up this morning and I could barely speak. Had a, woke up with a sore throat. I thought, this is one Ty and Cody. Went through them, went through my wife. I was feeling real good, thinking, well, praise God. You know, it didn't affect me. But how many of you know, just because you make wake up and decide that you're going to believe the Bible one day, that that doesn't make you off limits to the devil, you know what I'm saying? The devil's going to find out what you believe. He's going to find out what we believe and how much we believe it. Are you willing to do something with it? There are a lot of cases in the Word of God where Jesus, although he would pray for people, he'd tell them, now go do something. Go wash, or Go show yourself to the priest, or do something. And of course, we know from James, what did he say about faith? That faith without works is what?
Dead.
It's dead. How many people have dead faith, I wonder? Yeah. How many of us need to examine ourselves? We need to examine our faith, examine what we believe, and are we putting legs on it? Are we doing something with it? You know, we believe it's the end times. Well, how has that affected our lives? Well, it really hasn't affected my life much. Well, then I wonder about the level of your belief. Yeah. And we can't, you know, things that are going on, obviously, we're getting close. Well, have we changed anything? Have we, I mean, thank God we are here. We got more chairs now. And that's a good thing. Because if there is going to be a harvest, which I believe there will be, what do we, if we need more chairs? Well, that's awful practical. Yeah, but God's practical. People like coming to a church where the chairs are comfortable, that a church is heated. These simple things, you know. But we allow, we have to be doing something, putting legs on our faith, being not just a hearer of the word, but a doer. Jesus said, it's not the hearer of the word that's blessed. That always surprised me. Because I would hear the word and I would get blessed. But it was a carnal response to a good message. But Jesus said, it's not the hearer of the word is blessed, but the person that does the word, the doer of the word. That's the person that receives an eternal blessing beyond the immediate satisfaction of hearing a good message. I mean, I got rows of CDs. And I would listen to a CD set, you know, about Brother So-and-so, and I'd listen to it, like, oh, that was good. Now, let's listen to another one. And I'd listen to another one. Then I listened to another. But the Lord asked me one day, what are you doing with it? Okay. You mean I'm supposed to do something with it? I'm not supposed to just feel good because I heard a good message, or because my Bible knowledge has increased, or maybe now I can preach a little better, I got a better illustration. The Lord said, no, what are you going to do with it? What are you going to do with your knowledge? Are you going to act on the word? I'm talking to the guys at Teen Challenge this morning. And they're dealing with their addictions and their the things that they're going through, coming down off meth and heroin and those types of things. And they say, well, Brother John, I'm saying the word. I'm confessing the word. Yeah, but are you doing the word? Are you making yourself act like you're free from drugs? Are you making yourself, are you putting a smile on your face when you feel like knocking somebody out? Are you doing anything? Are you acting on the word? It's because when we act on the word that God then meets us and the supernatural occurs in our lives. It's when you decide, okay, now I've made my confession, I've made my declaration of faith, I got it taped on my refrigerator, I got my, but now I'm actually going to get up and go to work. And you feel like 20 miles of muddy road, you know? You just feel like laying in bed, like I was this morning, you know, I got done preaching at Teen Challenge, and I went through it with a sore throat and preaching the word, I got better as I preached. The anointing just has a presence about it, I don't know, but the anointing, anybody who... like the anointing. But after the anointing lifted, I had a sore throat again. So I went home and did a deep meditation and fell asleep, which was good. And but I got up and I went for a walk on the road and I said, I know what to do. I'm not new to these things. I've got to do the work. Amen. And I went home and I studied and I applied myself and we have to act upon the word of God. And I'm going to take you through some of the steps because I was doing these steps. I said, well, Lord, I don't have much for tonight. And the Lord said, well, just go over these steps with the people. Just show them. Illustrate the word of God. Do the word of God. Show them what you did. So in Proverbs chapter 4, verse 20, absolutely, when I first came back to God after being a backslidden preacher for 15 years, these were the verses God brought me to. It really just changed my life. It said, a very familiar portion of Scripture, but don't think you know it just because you can quote it. It says, my son, attend to my words. Incline your ear to my sayings. Will the word of God change your life? Amen. The word of God has creative power to change the circumstances that it's spoken into. God said, let there be light, and all there was darkness. But he said something contrary to the circumstances. He said, let there be light. Light be. He didn't go down there and say, woo, sure is dark down here. He spoke and he says things over you and I in the word of God. Comes to Gideon, mighty man of valor. I'm sure Gideon looked kind of like, what are you talking about? Called Peter a rock. Peter was anything but a rock. But Jesus called him that. Because God calls those things to be not as though they were. He speaks. I was reading earlier about God seeing things. God sees the world differently than you and I do. He sees potential in people. He sees gifts in people. He sees callings and anointings and mantles. And he sees amazing things within each one of us. And oh, if we can only see ourselves through the eyes of God. You look good. I look good. In the eyes of God, we look amazing. I think the devil's shocked every time he gets a Christian to sin. I think it blows his mind. I think he just blows him away. I can't believe they felt that again. Don't they know how powerful they are? Don't they know who lives inside of them? Don't they know they have an anointing upon their life? Don't they know they have the armor of God? Don't they know they have the word of God? Don't they know they have the anointing of the Holy Spirit? And I think he's blown away every time he destroys a Christian's life because I don't think we understand half of what the Bible says about us.
That's right.
You know, and it's not to cast stones. It's just that we need to press in and know these things. Amen. And how are we going to know these things? We're going to know these things by attending to his word. Because the word is going to reveal who you are. The word of God reveals who you are. Your potential in God. Your strength in God. Your anointing and your mantles. Don't allow other people to tell you who you are. Even if they're Christians. They may be doing well. I remember I got through preaching one time and I was actually preaching at Brother Dewey's church. This is a few years before I started coming here. He asked me to come preach. I went over there and I preached. And this guy walked up and after the service. He says, how long have you been preaching? Oh, I said, about a year and a half now. He goes, yeah, I'm not a very good preacher either. And walked away. Just turned and walked away, you know. I thought, well, praise God. Brother, thanks for encouraging me. But you can't believe the things your wife says about you. You can't believe the things your husband says about you. You've got to believe what God says about you.
Most kind of
that's right.
Now, if they're in line with the word of God, great. But, you know, my wife thinks I'm a slob. Well, The Bible says differently. I'm going to believe what the Bible says, and by believing what God says, he's going to form me into his image, and I'm going to change. The Word of God will change you. The Word of God will change you into Christ's likeness. But it doesn't happen necessarily overnight, but when you believe God and you set your mind, I'm going to believe what God says about me, these things will happen. My son, attend to my words. Incline your ear into my sayings. Do not let them depart from your eyes. Keep them in the midst of your heart, for they are life. God's words are life. Not the party life. Not walking around high. That's not life. That's death. God's words will bring you life. They bring you into contact with the Creator, the guy that spoke suns into existence, and fellowshipping with him, and being with him, and hanging out with him, and having a relationship with him is greater than any experience, greater than any encounter that the world can bring you. Well, I don't believe that. Well, that's your problem. That's our problem. Our belief is falling short of the promises of God's word, of what God declares about us. If Jesus says he's my friend, then I believe it. It isn't hinged upon whether or not I hear his voice. It isn't hinged upon whether or not he gives me goosebumps. It isn't hinged upon whether or not I feel him and he makes me feel good. My belief that he is my friend is based merely upon the fact he said so. God's my friend. Really, do you feel like he's your friend? Not really. No, I don't. But it's not based upon my feelings. And once I make that decision, I'm going to believe what you said, Jesus. Then my faith is mixed with his power. And we have a miracle that occurs within our lives, within our realm of existence. Like that little woman that pushed her way through the crowd to touch the hem of Jesus' garment. She just reached out there and touched it. And Jesus said, power has gone out of me. But it was released by her faith. Sure faith joins the power of God. The two created a miracle. A woman that believed what she heard. The Bible says that she had heard that Jesus was healing people. And she said within herself, like if I touch the hem of his garment, I shall be made whole. That's faith. When faith comes in contact with the power of God, Jesus said, I felt power go out of me. And he didn't turn around and say, my power healed you. He said, your faith healed you. The power of God is there for us to access at any time. Hallelujah. And how we access it is by believing his words. Making a declaration. And then she didn't just lay in bed and just make confessions. She got up with her blood flowing from her body. It was that easy. I said, was that easy? Wait up. Yeah. No, it wasn't easy. How many of you been sick and tried to get up? You don't want to get up. You just want to lay in bed and feel sorry for yourself. Maybe play a sad song on the radio or something. Woe is me. No one's coming to visit me from the church. Well, are those things really necessary? Thank God we go visit you, but you know, sometimes we don't know. But she got up and walked, pressed that way through the crowd, pressed her way through, forced her way in. She didn't just lay around feeling bad for herself, having a pity party. She forced herself in. I'm going to get to Jesus. I'm going to get to him.
Yeah.
I don't know. I'm going to get to him. That tenacity is lacking within the church as a whole.
Come on.
We want the church to come to us, or we want things to be easy, or we want things to be light, but we need to be able to press in, not be deterred by the forces of darkness. How badly do you want to be free? How badly do you want to be delivered? How badly do you want to be healed? How badly do you want these things? Well, yeah. If it's easy, I'll do it. And some things are easy, but there's some things we need to press into. Yeah. Take a hold of. Lay hold of eternal life. Lay hold of it.
Yeah.
Like a bull rider, you know. Just lay hold of that thing and will not let go.
Amen.
Will not let go. I did the wild horse race over here at Fortuna a few years ago. Actually, longer ago than that. Not a long time ago, but longer than I want to talk about. Anyway, a long time ago. I said a few. I need to correct that. It was a long time ago. But at one point, the horse got away from us. And I got away from the two guys. It's a three-man team. You got to ride the horse between two cones, if you don't know. Well, I ran out there, I jumped, and I grabbed that rope, and that horse drugged me all the way around the arena in a circle like three times before my buddies were able to catch up and get on the horse, you know. So lay hold of eternal life. I was not going to let go. For what? A stupid belt buckle? I mean, you know, that's what I was trying for. I didn't get the buckle. I got second place. We got second place. But, you know, but we're willing to do so much sometimes for things that are in the natural, for things that perish, for things that fall apart. We got to be laying hold of what? Eternal life. God's not so much interested. I mean, he is interested in your personal healing. But God also wants you to know these things so you can help people. So that you can lay hands on the sick. So that you can teach someone how to overcome an addiction. So that we can stand up and help people rise and become who they are in Christ.
Come on.
Great. Thank God for people getting saved. Thank God for people getting born again. But let's turn them into soldiers. Let's turn them into mighty men and women of God. Let's turn them into someone that knows how to cast the devil out of somebody. Let's turn them into someone that knows how to minister healing or minister an anointing or minister truth. Impartation of truth, impartation of the word of God, making disciples.
Amen.
For they are, God's words are life to those that find them. Life to those that find them. Those, you got to find them. We got to get into the word, seek things out, follow the threads. Believing, when you read the word of God, it'll change you. If you read a scripture that says, he whom the Son has set free, you believe that word, and then you begin to act like you're free.
Amen.
You know, well, that's a nice scripture, Brother John. Praise God for that scripture. Thank you for sharing that scripture. Now do something with it. Do something with the word of God. Not just being a hearer, but a doer. If I said that verse once, I said it 10,000 times. I don't say it too much anymore because I've gotten the victory in some areas. But he whom the Son has set free is free. And I had to say it when my mind was so full of garbage, so full of junk, so full of rotten pictures, so full of bad DVDs that my mind, I didn't feel free at all. No feeling whatsoever. There were no angels in my room singing to me. There was nothing supernatural, I shouldn't say it, nothing spectacular was going along, but supernaturally something was occurring because the Word of God is a seed. And you put it in the ground, and for a day or a week or 2 weeks or however long it takes, you're not going to see anything. But if you cut your faith off, if you believe that seed is not producing, that's the worst thing you could do. We have to believe a change is occurring. This morning, could barely speak, could barely woke up with that sore throat, the same sore throat that I've been all the way through my family. Now I've got to act on the Word of God. So I got my healing scriptures out. I brought them with me tonight because I thought I'm going to read these healing scriptures to the people and we're going to get blessed together.
Amen.
But allowing the Word of God, you can do this with anything in the Word of God. The Word of God will make you, will work in you that you're not a liar anymore. The Word of God will work in you for a greater, a stronger anointing. The Word of God will work in you for your finances.
Yeah.
The Word of God will work in you in these areas.
Amen.
And if you'll be able
That's
to see.
Right. Well, amen.
But get the seed in the ground. Get the Word of God in your heart. It's the same thing. And then water it and cherish it and protect it.
Amen.
And don't allow just any old junk in there with it. There's TV shows that can choke out the Word.
Amen.
There's news broadcasts that can choke out the Word. What was it? Wigglesworth went and let a newspaper in his house?
Yeah.
Told Lester Summerall, don't bring that thing. Don't bring that devil thing in here. He told him. Have discernment of what it is we're watching, what we're reading, because you put other things in it, it'll choke out the Word. Especially if you're in a real strong battle for your very testimony, for your very existence with God. You can't afford to be putting other things in there.
Come on.
Maybe when things are going good, you can sit down and watch a certain TV show. I don't recommend it, but there's times if you just sat across the desk from someone and they told you you're going to be dead in 6 months, you got cancer, you don't go home and play a video game. I'm talking the truth. I had a brother call me just a couple weeks ago. He says, I got diagnosed with cancer. I said, well, come over and pray. I went over there and prayed. He was playing a video game on the couch. And I said to him, I said, how many video games do you play? He says, well, I'm not working right now. I says, I play about 16 hours a day.
Oh,
I wanted to say, you're going to die. I didn't say that. Because what's going to change his life is the Word.
That's right.
Yeah, not video games. Not video games. I was tactful. I didn't say it. God's words are life to those that find them, and health to all their flesh. Or you could say, when I say this, I say my flesh. God's words are health to my flesh. And then I say it, and I say it, and I confess it. For whosoever will say the mountain be removed, be cast into the sea, and not doubt in his or her heart, and believe that the things that they say come to pass, they will have what they say. And don't get discouraged because you're not there. We don't arrive in, you know, a month or 2 months. I know for me, it was, the Bible talks about our tongue being the steering wheel on a big ship. Well, how fast does a big ship turn? We went on that cruise, you know. It takes a long time to turn that big ship around. Well, it's the same way when you begin to speak things. Maybe for years, I said things over my life like I'll never preach again. I said that. I would say it out loud. I would say terrible things. Oh, she's got long legs and cowgirl boots. I'll follow her home. That's the stupidest thing in the world you could possibly say. But I would say these things. For 15 years, I said things contrary to God's will for my life. And now, here I am making a declaration. He whom the Son has set free is free. I'm not feeling anything. No angels patting me on the back, going, good job. It's just, I'm just making a declaration of God's word. And slowly and gradually, that ship started to turn. It started to go a different direction.
Right.
Sometimes when you're out here on the highway, the sign will say, you know, like when you're getting off, say, and going on Highway 20, you know, it'll say 20, you know, you got to go east. But when you got to go west.
Yeah.
To get to the east, you know what I'm saying? And when we begin to speak things, it may not feel like it's working in the natural. The devil's going to come to you and say, it's not working. Just shut up. Don't believe that stuff. Don't say that. You sound like one of those name it and claim it people. Don't do that. But you got to say, he whom the Son has set free is free. I was listening to a preacher. This was last year. He said this. I adopted it for myself. But he said, God has anointed me to teach and preach the Word of God on a level that the world and the church is unfamiliar with. Mm-hmm. I've been saying that. First time I've told anybody that. But I've been saying that. God has anointed me to teach and preach the Word of God on a level that the world and the church is unfamiliar with. And I'm seeing an increase.
Yeah.
Did I see it the next day? No. I begin to say what God says about me.
Amen.
To say what God says about me. God says I'm handsome.
Amen.
I got happy with me on that one. All right. Good. Praise God. But God says wonderful things about us in His Word. In His Word. This morning I began to say, Lord, I'm healed. I believe I'm healed. I believe by His stripes I was healed. Not am going to be healed. I was healed. Past tense. That I was healed. He sent His Word and healed me. I began to say, I began to read these healing scriptures. I got 8 pages of healing scriptures here. I just started reading myself out loud. I'm not going to even get to them tonight, but I brought, you know, good. That's all right. But this is the very first verse God ever gave me along these lines. It says, keep your heart. You could say, guard your heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. Talking about the stuff you put in your heart. Again, there's nothing wrong with, you know, enjoying a TV show or those types of things. But you need to make sure the priority is to the Word of God.
Amen.
The priority is to the Word of God. And if God interrupted you in the middle of your TV show, you're more than able to turn that switch off and go read your Bible. If you can't do that, you got problems. You need to repent. Oh, God, just wait till the show's over. Next commercial, Lord. We'll deal with next commercial. This is a good spot. This is a new. We are living in a new generation. We have things. You can just stop it now and come back. It's great. In the old days, you couldn't do that. You had to get up, turn the channel. Never mind, you don't even know what I'm talking about.
Get up.
Love you, Chris. Anyway. Verse 24 says, avoid all perverse talk. Stay away from corrupt speech. Isn't it interesting? Watch what you say. I know when I was in the world, I'd ride the one bar I was always go to. It had a bucking machine. I rode that bucking machine 5-6 nights a week. Got to where my left arm hurt. And then after I'm now a Christian. Now I'm serving God. My left arm still hurts. And I would say to people, That's what I would say. I'd say, well, that's my rodeo injury. That's what I'd say. But listen to my terminology. That's my rodeo injury. That's my rodeo injury. That's my rodeo injury. The Lord jumped all over me about it one day. You know, just in my heart. Not hearing voices, but just in my heart. Like, what are you doing? You didn't even rode in a rodeo. You know what you're talking about. And then to call it your rodeo injury? Get rid of it. Get that out of your life. Get those things. Get the devil's plans out of your life, no matter what they are. Get the devil's plans out of your life. Well, that's just the way I am. That's the way my mother is. That's the way my grandma is. You know, that's the way we adopt things into our lives that were not God's plan for us. My father is God. It's not, thank God for my earthly father. But he is not the one I'm going to pattern my life after. It's my heavenly father. He's the one that gets to determine who and what I am. So put this speech, this perverse speech, this language that contradicts what God says about you out. Let your eyes look right on. And let your eyelids look straight before you. Be mindful of what we're looking at. Be mindful of what we're seeing. Be mindful of those things. Now, I work in a correctional facility. The things I see are horrendous. I see things that nobody should have to see. I hear stories that nobody should have to hear. I deal with perversion on a level that nobody should have to deal with. But I've learned, because God has sent me there, there's grace to do these things. But if you're voluntarily putting yourself in these situations, voluntarily going into these situations, God's grace is not going to be there to protect you if you're just voluntarily putting your eyes on something on TV you shouldn't be watching. Or just voluntarily doing, I'm going to go do that just for the sake of doing it because I can, because I'm a Christian. No, you're lying to yourself. These things will infect you. They will corrupt you. They will destroy your relationship with God. Because God told you not to do it, and you looked at God and said, you are not the Lord of my life. I don't have to. I'm going to do what I want to do. And when you declare God not Lord of your life because of some choice that you make, you limit what he can do for you. His love never changes. But his ability to work in our life becomes inhibited. When you tell God, just take a flying leap. I'm going to do what I want to do. We become a Christian when we confess him as Lord. You're calling the shots now. I'm no longer calling the shots. You're calling the shots. You're going to be in charge of my life. You're Lord. Say, he is Lord.
He is Lord.
Do you believe that?
Yes.
Then you ought to act like it.
Yes.
We ought to act like it. Act like he's Lord.
Amen.
Careful what you're looking at. Verse 26. Think about the path of your feet. Let your ways be established. Turn not to the right hand or the left. Remove your foot from evil. Remove your foot from evil. But his words are life to all your flesh. His words will change you. His words. And it's not the person that believes his words for a week, or even a month, or even a year. We believe God's words forever.
Amen.
Forever. I like it. Years ago when I was living in Tulsa, I heard they interviewed Brother Oral Roberts. And they asked him this question. It just always stuck with me over the years. They said, well, what would you do if the person you were praying for, when you laid hands on them, just fell over and died? And Oral Roberts said, I'd say, next! But it just always stuck with me, because he's not going to be moved by what he sees. He's not going to be moved by the circumstances. That the fact that somebody didn't receive, somebody didn't arrive, somebody didn't get God's best, does not mean it's excluded for me. I can get there. I can do it. I can exercise my faith. I can arrive. I can. Not that I'm casting stones, but just because people don't arrive at God's best doesn't mean it's not available to us. It's not available to us. Well, no one's ever preached like that before, Brother John. No one's ever held crowds like that before. Never has there been a church that size in Rio Dela before. Never has that happened. Never, never, never. That's the devil talking. That never stuffs the devil. There's no reason why we can't have influence beyond even our wildest imagination.
Amen.
There's no reason to hold ourselves back. There's no reason you can't have a world-changing ministry.
That's right.
You. Say me.
Me.
There's no reason for these things to happen. Well, they say that over and over again, the Bible would say things like, well, this person had been in this condition for 30 years. And this person had been in this condition for 12 years. And this person, well, that person right here, they never walked. The Bible makes an emphasis of saying, of giving us that type of the information. The man at the pool, he'd been there, what, 37 years? The man that, the lady at the Gate Beautiful, he'd been there her whole life. He'd been there a long time. Jesus walked right by him. But at the same time, it doesn't exclude you from the fact that you can still receive a miracle. And the man that Paul ministered to there, and I can't remember exactly what it was, but the Bible says he never walked. He had never walked. And yet we let these things intimidate us. Well, I've been addicted, to cigarettes for 20 years, Brother John. Who cares? You think that intimidates God? 20 years. Oh, my gosh. You've been smoking for 20 years? Oh, Gabriel, what are we going to do? This one's been addicted for 20 years. If it had been 15, I could have helped you, but sorry, 20, you're done. Numbers do not intimidate God, or the fact that it's never happened. God is looking for somebody, for a group of people that will believe his word, believe what he has to say, and then act upon his word. Father, I thank you so much for your word. I thank you for your anointing. I thank you for your presence, Lord. I thank you that you are good to us all the time. In Jesus' most precious name, hallelujah. Thank you, Lord Jesus. All right, praise God. Anybody like prayer? We'll pray with you. Pastor and I'll pray with you. If this tugged on your heart at all, maybe you've been in a situation you don't think it can change. Well, we spoke the word. Faith comes by hearing. You probably got some faith stirring in you right now. Come on down here. The power of God is readily available. Things can change. Things can change. Amen. Thank you, Lord. But we'll pass this up. There's an anointing here right now. I can feel it. I don't often have an anointing right now. I can feel it. It's in my hand. A lot of times when I just teach. And the anointing is upon the teaching. Tonight I got a little residue here. I can feel it in my hand. And do life prayer. Anybody? Thank you.
words of that mountaintop and hear more of that vision, Father God, that's needful for the church body, Father God. Lord, I did a kiri da sira of a kokur da shandari a ki itake. Osha la 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 pola la 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 si ta kai. As you open up the door of men's hearts to be able to hear your word, Father God, and may it go forth with a seasoning of salt, Father God, that will bring hunger and a thirsting, Father God, to know what it is that is in this man's heart. I pray, Father God, that you'll open up your word to him, Lord, even as he takes his word, takes your word, Father God, into that mill, Lord God, that while he has his break, Father God, it'll be on his heart to look into your word, and you begin to help him to soak up the scripture, Father God, so that sometime during that day, every day, that in that day, Father God, you'll give him a word that's going to break the yoke over his men. In Jesus' holy precious name, we give you thanks for it. Yes. Amen and amen. Yes. Anyone else? Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. Hallelujah.
God, couple
of
my faith with your faith, deeper revelation of who God is in us. And what his power is about. And we just want to ask.
Well, Lord, we just thank you. You've heard this request. Glory to your name, Jesus. Yes, 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 my God. Much things to be done, said the Lord. Many things to be done. Rest in me. Soak in my presence. Adamokoto, be in season and out. For my grace is sufficient for thee. My strength is made perfect in your weakness. Yes, 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 yes. I have made you the head, not the tail. Oh, praise the Lord, praise the Lord, praise the Lord. I'm going to bring victory to your daughter in such a mighty way. She is growing strong in me. Oh, my goodness, this is not the end. This is just the beginning of a new chapter. Yeah, I'm going to be with her. I will be with your grandchildren. grandchildren, I'm even with your husband, said Lord, he's learning many things from me right now. He's contemplating, he's looking, he's watching, he's looking inside. All of us see that as he continues to look inside, this is what he's going to find. He's going to find me. Yes, Lord, yes, Lord. Continue to bring provision. We thank you for your provision. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, God. Prepare us for this. Young man, the Lord's at work for you. You're learning many things from this man. God's not forgotten you. He knows right where you're at. He wants to work with you more than what you want to work with him. And he knows that. Amen. He knows that. Steer you wrong. He won't steer you wrong because he loves you and he cares about you more than you can possibly imagine. He loves you. He loves you enough that he's put you with him. No man has been through it. No man that knows. No man has been there. God is good.
Amen.
All the time.
God is good.
God is good. Pray you have a wonderful night. Again, remember my family, my mother's here this week. Had some good time already. Sister Tammy and my mother, kind of like a married couple. Yeah, other for quite a few years back in the old Assembly of God. That was before I knew Sister Daisy.